Lightning 100, that is Amy Ray Band right here in the Volume.com studio live with Joy Train from the newest album, If It All Goes South, sounding so great this morning. And I think this might be the first time I've had a dobro on my show, actually. It sounds really? Great. Yeah, I mean, I've only been on air here for 2 years, and part of that was COVID, so I'm still in the beginning stages of having a live bands awesome. On.
That
so
must have been culture shock for you.
Yeah, it's a little different. I started on air in March 2020, so definitely no on-air guests for quite a while with that.
Welcome to your new job.
I know, yeah, that was kind of how it was, but I've been loving it since then. But yeah, you guys sounding great. And like you said, right before you started playing that one, you recorded this album here in Nashville at the Sound Emporium. So what made you want to come to Nashville to do this?
I love making records here. Indigos have made a lot of records here, and Sound Emporium specifically has really great tape machines, and we did tape, and they keep up the tape machines really well, and they have great techs there, and it was really all technical stuff. And also they had a woman assist engineer that I really just wanted to get more. I've got a band with a lot of dudes in it, and I thought, we need some couple females in the room. so that and just the tape thing mainly. I mean, and they're so... Their gear is impeccable.
Yeah.
And the people that run it are super friendly.
And it's a beautiful spot. I got to go there for a session that I was, I guess, assisting the assistant on back when I was in college.
Cool.
And it's such a cool space. I love it. But so I know you did this one live to tape there, right? Is that something you've done before, or is this like a first time for that?
With this band, we've been together about 10 years, and this band has always gone to tape. Mostly live, if not all. This record has like 7 songs live to tape and 3 that were put out as singles during COVID that we transferred to tape, but 7 of them were really like as live as we've ever done it. That's always our goal, you know?
Yeah.
But things happened, you know? But this record was really more purely that than any, because we've been together so long now that we could really, you know, just sit in that space and just, you know, if you make a mistake, you kind of just do it again and everybody's, you know, in a good positive place to try to make it all work as a team. So it was cool. It was really cool. That song was, you know, a lot. There was a lot going on. There was a banjo happening and like all sorts of things going on in the room, and we just all were together, so it was cool.
I mean, doing it live like that, especially with people you've been playing with for so long, like I feel like you get to just feed off of each other. And yeah,
totally.
How
and
much
you feel
of that,
so good at the end of it, you know?
How much of, I mean, I guess, so you know, you write all of the songs, but how much of the arrangements do you plan ahead of time, or is that sort of something you guys work out while you're in the studio?
We actually work it out on through digital means. So we do our pre-pro digitally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From each other's houses.
Yeah.
So
remotely?
Yeah, because we learned how to do that during COVID, and that was kind of a good map for how to do pre-production for us, so we don't waste money in the studio.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and we would all put parts down, and it would end up at Jeff's house, Jeff Fielder in Seattle, and he would kind of, and our producer Brian and him would talk, and it would be everybody that put their ideas into the bucket, basically, and then Jeff would sort of weed through things and send us different ideas about how to make it all work, and we would slowly get it, and then the demo would be that. And then that's what our map was for recording. But it all, in some ways, it goes out the window when you get into the studio.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You have it, but you're really, at that point, you are feeding off each other. And that exercise is just to kind of like get you so intimately familiar with the song that other ideas can be spontaneous when you're in the studio.
Yeah, once you get in, it's like just whatever the feeling is.
And the
in
band
the
is really, they're, you know, I'm not like doing a lot of directing about parts.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing, they're just great. At what they do. So, and Jeff does some arrangement help, and he'll be like, man, might you play these 2 chords instead of those, or put this chord in, or maybe just key change or something. So we're all collaborators, you know, collaborators.
That's the beautiful way
and
to
Matt's
do it.
And Matt's in another band called The Honeycutters, Amanda Ann Platt and The Honeycutters, and they're amazing. And so Matt's got this whole other career, and he's got a lot of information kind of that we feed off of from that too. Like, we're all in other bands, and it sort of brings the resources into us.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure like the different, you know, whatever you're working on at the time with those other bands probably plays into it too.
Yeah, because I listen to the songwriter in his band when I'm writing sometimes, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I should work on this part of my writing more.
Steal like an artist, right? Isn't that a thing people say?
Yes, exactly.
With this record too, you had million special guests on this one, like Allison Russell, Natalie Hemby, Sarah DeRose. I know you had Brandi Carlile on at least one song.
Yeah, one song, yeah.
Which I think was the other one you were going to play for us this morning, right? Subway, which I know that song has a really special place to you if you want to tell us the story behind that one.
Sure, yeah. Subway, I wrote in honor of a woman named Rita Houston that was a DJ up in New York at WFUV, another non-com station, community radio, which I really firmly believe in. And she helped a lot of musicians in the 90s kind of find their footing in the world, you know, especially musicians that were gay and queer and just couldn't really figure out how to hold themselves, you know, in that era, because it was could be very oppressive. But she was kind of like a music first leaning person, you know, so it was all about the music, and she never really judged anything else. So her tastes were vast and wide ranging, and she was just I remember hearing stories where she would try to go to 5 shows in one night, you know, things like that. And I just really, I loved her a lot, and it was a big loss for a lot of people. I mean, everybody really loved her in the music world, in the radio world, the non-com world especially. So she lived in New York, and it was during COVID, and I basically was like writing her a letter in this song about, you know, missing her and thinking about her and what she had done and kind of our lives, both of us as we grew up sort of through the scene and all that.
Yeah, I know. I'm really sad to have not met her. I've heard a lot about her, and I know a lot of people who work here at Lightning 100 with me have met her working with her at Bonnaroo at the like radio tent there, and I've heard only amazing things about her. So I think it's beautiful that you wrote this tribute for her, and we would love to hear it.
Yeah, we'll play it. And yeah, and Brandy did sing on this. She did a choir of Brandy's, which Jeff is going to... Jeff is going to...
You're going to be our choir of Brandy's this morning?
Well, Jeff is from Seattle, so he's got some Brandy.
Yeah, that makes... That's close enough.
All right, you want to count me in?
Yeah.